And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. Hello and welcome to another edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 23 Waiver Wire Edition. Nick Elberger and the returning Pete Jensen. Congratulations. How are you, buddy?
Thanks so much, Nick. Great to be back talking pucks with you. Of course, Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. We haven't touched base in about 2 weeks, so excited to see how some of these guys are translating after the trade deadline, of course, and fantasy playoffs are in full swing. Stanley Cup playoff races on the horizon. It's an exciting time in the league, man.
It is. Shout out to producer Bob Bender for putting everything together as well. Week 23 mailbag edition. There is so much to cover on the show. Let's not wait any time. Waiver Wire, James, welcome back, buddy. How are you?
What's going on, guys? Yeah, it is that glorious time of the year. Fantasy playoffs. I started 0-4 and 1-5 in my big keeper league. Made a run and got into the playoffs. 11-11. Let's go, boys. Come on.
I have some tough news to report, guys. I've already had two of my fantasy playoffs. I have been ousted in two fantasy playoffs, so not feeling good on this Monday, but we truck right along. And the majority of fantasy playoffs do get underway, I believe, this week or next. So we're going to dive into things. James, let's touch on some guys who can really help some fantasy rosters. And for me, it starts with a guy in Arizona. Barrett Hayton has been a tremendous story last month, James.
Absolutely. Seven-game point streak right now, totaled 17 points, 7 goals, 10 assists, 4 power play points, and 43 shots on goal in his past 15 games overall. Absolutely a must-roster player. And this is a pretty feisty Arizona team. They're actually, since the beginning of February, top 10 in the NHL in points earned as a team. So, you know, I definitely love what Hayton is doing. He's starting to take that next step that a lot of people expected him to take. And obviously adding Nick Schmaltz back to that line with him and Clayton Keller is just going to make that trio so much more dynamic. So I'm absolutely jumping on the Hayton train right now.
So with Arizona too, James, the goaltending have provided some value. And then, of course, Juuso Välimäki, one of my favorite fantasy playoff pickups because he's a total diamond in the rough out there. He's scoring at about a point per game ever since the guys like Chychrun and Gostisbehere left town. I know you guys touched on it on a previous show, but how high would you rise Välimäki in the defenseman rankings after a pretty good sample size here in the month of March?
I would definitely put him top 20, top 25 for the remainder of the season as a fantasy defenseman. I mean, you know, you trade away Gostisbehere, you trade away Jacob Chychrun, and all of a sudden there's that void that needs to be filled. And, you know, we saw Välimäki in the past up in Calgary, and he was blocked by guys, up there. And then obviously he comes to a situation in Arizona and he's blocked by two, I would say, more elite defensemen than him. But he finally gets this opportunity now, 19 points in his last 20 games, really being given that opportunity. Not much production on the power play down there in Arizona, but that's a feisty team. And just like I said, with Hayton now having the exposure to Keller and Schmaltz, Välimäki on that top pair, also having exposure to all three of them at both even strength and on the power play. So Hayton and Välimäki really going to produce, I think, a lot of dividends down the end of the stretch.
And you talk about opportunity. How about Wyatt Johnston, thrusted pretty much into the 2C hole with the Dallas Stars? And he leads all rookies now in the NHL with 20 goals. He scored in 4 straight games and 6 of the past 8 outings.
Starting to really look very comfortable in that Stars offense. And you know, going into the season, a lot of people thought that that was going to be a one-line team with just that top line of Hintz, Pavelski, and obviously Robertson. And they're starting to prove that they really are one of the deepest teams in the NHL right now. Evgeny Dadonov has come in and looks rejuvenated after the trade from Montreal to Dallas. So he's slotted on that line with Johnston and also Jamie Benn, the grizzled veteran right there as well. So the three of them are really starting to mesh, really starting to gel. And Johnston, like you said, leading all rookies in goals at the moment. So I would be riding the Dallas train because that is a very, very strong team, and they are going to be a force to be reckoned with once it comes down the stretch of the season here, getting towards the playoffs.
And I think you could start to see the rookie landscape start to wake up a little bit, right? Obviously, Beniers has been leading the race all season long, but McTavish has been productive lately for the Ducks with 9 points in his past 10 games. Wyatt Johnston. And then also you're going to see some new blood here, right? Buffalo Sabres have signed Devin Levi to an entry-level contract. He's their prize goalie of the future. I'm excited, James, to see if this guy could get some work down the stretch. UPL has fallen off. Craig Anderson not doing it anymore. The stage is set for this guy to make an immediate impact whenever he gets his first start. And Buffalo needs a lift right now. They've been playing terrible the past couple of games.
Yeah, you look at the last stretch for the Sabres over about the past 2 weeks. Obviously, the 10 spot that the Stars dropped on them on March 9th, and then 7 goals yesterday against the Bruins. So they need something. Obviously, we said that that was going to be their Achilles heel all season, was A, their defensive depth, and B, obviously, their goaltending. You're only going to go so far with Craig Anderson in his early 40s being able to carry you, and UPL just so up and down. You look at Levi, Northeastern University kid, a 9.52 save percentage last season and a 9.33 save percentage playing, you know, high Division One hockey. So I would love to see this kid get a shot and what he could do in the NHL. And I really hope that the Sabres give him that opportunity here, give him a little bit of a run towards the end of the season.
So as you guys know, I love my schedule manipulation. And James, my two teams I'm looking at in the schedule this week, Colorado and Pittsburgh, because of their favorable slates when there are light nights. Who are some guys you're plucking away? I'm looking at guys like Rodriguez, Confer, maybe a Jason Zucker who's been on fire.
Yeah, I love the placement for Rodriguez right now. Points in consecutive games and 6 points, 21 shots on goal in his past 9, skating on that top line with Rantanen and McKinnon for the Avalanche. So I definitely love that aspect of it. Like you said, very, very favorable schedule this week. They have the Blackhawks, the Penguins, and the Arizona Coyotes twice. So I would be tapping there, only 23% rostered, and obviously try eligible in all of Yahoo leagues. And another guy you mentioned there is Zucker, and he is starting to come around right now, playing in that top 6 for the Penguins. They play the Senators tonight. They obviously have Colorado and Dallas, and then finish the week off with Washington. A lot of shots, not a ton of production as of late, but you know, with his exposure in that top 6, I wouldn't be fading away from Jason Zucker, but I think that there are some other options out there right now.
And also keep an eye on James, right, with the Roman Josi injury for the Predators. I know they just got blasted at MSG last night, but with Josi out, I guess there's a spot for Tyson Barry to regain fantasy relevance. Only 3 points in his first 10 games with the Predators. That's a guy we thought would fall off the map just because Josi was standing in his way. So I was just kind of looking at that. Nashville, a fringe, probably on the outs of the playoff picture, but they've been competitive most nights. I know they got a big game against Buffalo this week that could go either way. So I would roster Tyson Barry, and your thoughts on him and in his scope of the trade deadline acquisitions around the league.
Yeah, that trade really hasn't paid off super well so far. Barry has looked a little lost playing in that Predators offense. I think this will give him an opportunity. Maybe a guy also like Tommy Novak, who's been skating really well as of late. Luke Evangelista skating on that second line, the rookie there. So, you know, there is some underlying value with the Predators, but I would only go with them, like you said, in a matchup against another struggling team like the Sabres right now. You saw how lost they looked against the Rangers over the weekend. And unfortunately, I think that's a little bit of more to come for the Predators for the rest of the year.
So I'd love to go around the table here, and Pete, we can start with you. Just general advice for fantasy owners getting set for their fantasy playoffs in terms of waiver streams. Like, a lot of the names on this week, NHL.com/fantasy, are guys that are, you know, under 10% owned that have been hot lately, but there's a tendency to maybe taper off, obviously, because they're lesser known commodities. But Pete, what advice would you give? And then James, after Pete, just the advice you would give to fantasy owners when talking about waiver streams this time of year.
Yeah, so it's easy to say team security is the best tiebreaker, but I think the best tiebreaker is if a guy's on the top line and the first power play. So like Evan Rodriguez, if he's with McKinnon and Rantanen, Obviously, that's a slam dunk. Go pick him up. He's been good whenever healthy. But then also, like James, I know we've seen some sneaky value in the Islanders' top six. And if you could look at a guy like Kyle Palmieri that has been having a nice second half of the season, playing with some good line mates right now and trending in the right direction for a team that in all likelihood will be either the last team in or the first team out. So you know the Isles are going to be competitive. You know he's going to be on the right, either the top line or the first power play or both the rest of the season. So to me, like that top bend placement, even if it's a Coyotes guy like Hayton, Palmieri, some of these guys around the league that are playing big roles, even if they're on non-playoff teams, that's where I'm looking and prioritizing to fill out my roster.
Yeah, and I would piggyback off of that just to say you have to have no loyalty at this point in the season. I mean, obviously, unless it's really like one of your big top end guys, you have to be willing to cut bait with you know, like a fringe guy or even a guy who's, you know, producing solidly well to pick up a stream. Obviously, it comes down to a few factors. Are you in a keeper league or non-keeper league? How many pickups you have for the week? And obviously, you know, Nick's favorite term, schedule manipulation. You look at the schedule this week, 14 teams play four games. So, you know, it's a pretty heavy week right now. But yeah, it all comes down to just, you know, playing the stream game and being willing to cut guys that are on the fringe or even guys that are on a run right now. But if they only play a handful of games this week and, you know, the schedule isn't very favorable, get rid of them and pick somebody up who's either going to play A, more games, or B, just has a more favorable schedule. So, you know, the loyalty goes out the window at this point in the season.
It's funny too, right? Guys, some of these goalies that have been surfacing, I know the Vegas backup's been winning. This guy for the St. Louis Blues, Hoffer, had a nice performance yesterday with a shutout against the Winnipeg Jets. And then don't forget those Sunday games. Like the Sunday games, especially for goaltenders, tend to tilt things. A lot of people had leagues, right, Nick, where the playoffs started last week in fantasy. And a lot of people got a clutch shutout from Yaroslav Halak. He's been getting great goal support even before the Tarasenko and Patrick Kane trades to the Blue Shirts. And like this guy has had a great bounce back second half of the season. And a shutout in a spot like that could give you the extra category where you win your matchup, you move on. And like James said, no loyalty. Don't hesitate to pick up a lesser guy that, you know, is going to have a big opportunity later in the week, like on a Saturday or Sunday.
It is a greasy time of year. Make no mistake about it. Even Hofer didn't even get credit for the shutout because of a skate issue in the second period. Thomas Greiss comes in, makes one save. But like those are the cheeky plays I think you need to put your fantasy roster over the top and the type of streams that can win you a matchup outright. You know, as somebody who had it happen to him, I could tell you firstly that it just really, really stings. But I think you have to be on top of matchups this time of year. Like James, we laugh about my thinking that way, but matchups are so integral. Not to mention, not that I think load management is going to be a thing, but I do think we're going to see some stud players miss a couple games here down the stretch. And I think fantasy owners have to be ahead of the curve in that scenario too, James.
Well, yeah, and you just saw it over the weekend. The Boston Bruins rested Dmitry Orlov on Sunday against the Sabres. And, you know, that was a fairly significant move because you look at, you know, what he's been since he got acquired from the Washington Capitals. You know, he's been Dmitry Skorlov and he's been pumping it in there. So, you know, you just see that right now the Bruins are like, all right, we're getting ready for the playoffs. We're going to start resting some of our guys. I don't know if you're going to see maybe a Marchand or a Pasternak, you know, take a seat, but you could see, you know, maybe Bergeron take a night off or a Krejci taking a night off. So once these guys start to, you know, clinch the playoffs, more and more teams start to kind of have their positions solidified. Yeah, you might start to see a little bit more of that, you know, time management, load management situation come in towards the end of the season.
And James, another tip for fantasy managers, when you have the playoff races heating up, like for a team like the Florida Panthers, they've dealt with injuries all season long, but those guys are going to do everything in their power to be in the lineup for these key times of year. So I don't think you're going to see a lot of load management, of course, for teams like Pittsburgh and the Islanders. And, you know, Buffalo's fallen out of it, but they're going to be playing their guys every night. And Florida, I think, has some sneaky value, right? That, how do you say his name? Lewis Starian. I mean, that guy's been playing on the top line for a couple of weeks. And I feel like the attachment to Barkov, the security of knowing he's going to be in the lineup every night, just gives you that extra edge to pick up a guy like that.
You got to call the goalie master to ask for the pronunciation of that one.
Oh, Lustarainen on the top line? E2 Lustarainen? Yeah. The Finn.
Yeah, he's been great. But those Another exactly, Finn. Those are the kind of guys that you need. You know, like you said, you know, Kyle Palmieri, Callie Yarncroc right now has been promoted up to the first line for, you know, for Toronto. And he set his career high in goals so far, matched his career high in points. So, you know, guys like that, Pierre Engvall, who the Islanders just acquired before the deadline, points in four straight games, skating with Nick's favorite guy, Brock Nelson. So, yeah, you know, there's a lot of underlying value there, especially on those teams kind of in that, you know, 5 to 10 range in each conference, because those are the guys who are never going to take a night off. So if you can tap into those lineups in any way possible, especially, you know, the top six on offense, top four on defense, whatever it is, you know, find those niche guys and ride them. And like I said, don't be afraid to cut bait with somebody who's you know, going to have either a tough week or a short week when it comes to games.
Week 23, where has the time gone? James, thanks so much for this, bud.
Awesome, guys. Pete, welcome back. Congrats again, buddy.
Thanks so much, James. We're putting together a first line here with Jack and Luke in the Jensen household for sure. Appreciate the well wishes, my friend. So, Nick, Jacob Vrana, since we last talked, has taken off. I know you've covered him a little bit on the pod, but he's playing against the Detroit Red Wings in two games this upcoming week. That's a little bit of revenge, Nick Alberga style, and I really like that trend for the rest of the season. And he has another year on his contract, Vrana, so he could pay big dividends for a team that's trying to retool in St. Louis, right?
Yeah, in long, I mean, Doug Armstrong could hit the lotto here. 7 games, 5 goals, 6 points. He's playing with Thomas and Kyrou, and I do think Jacob Vrana is a must-add right now, Pete, when it comes to the fantasy playoffs, but in fantasy hockey in general. Like, by this point, we're fully capable in what this guy can do. He showed it in Washington. He showed it on the ice, of course, in Detroit. And now with the St. Louis Blues, I think you have to jump on this guy. Like, I think he's an elite level talent. And I think you just look at his production over the last couple of years in limited time, grant you. But he's a producer. Like, he has to be picked up, no?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's one of the best success stories of the deadline, really. Yeah. I mean, he didn't get another chance really with Detroit more than a couple of games after he came back from the player assistance program. Yeah. And he's one of those guys out there that we've liked all along. Like Korpisalo is another one. Like, he's been great so far for the LA Kings. Breath of fresh air. You look at, like, metrics wise, that team is very strong in some key areas since that trade. So it's just a ripple effect on the rest of the team. And I mean, is there any other player besides Vrana and Korpisalo that has really stood out to you other than the obvious names after the trade deadline that you'd really want to get on your fantasy roster for this key playoff week upcoming?
I would throw a couple out there, namely on the back end, like Rasmus Sandin, 8 games, 11 points. Matthias Ekholm, I was actually down in Edmonton or up in Edmonton this past weekend, and what a revelation. Like, you add one player to that roster, it makes such a difference. But I think, you know, from talking to Oilers fans in Edmonton, it was more so they didn't know that there was the upside with Matthias Ekholm offensively, right? Like, he's a guy who can chip in. I think he had 3 apples over that weekend in that win against the Seattle Kraken, but he's up to 7 points in 9 games. Even a guy who's in a favorable position, as you mentioned, to start this podcast, Juuso Välimäki, right? Like, Chychrun leaves, you know, Gostisbehere leaves. So Välimäki is pretty much the number one defenseman. He's running the first power play unit. So that, I think that's how you have to think as a fantasy owner, is like ahead and what that means for a player, A, if he's not traded, and B, if he is traded, how they favor into their new roster here, Pete.
Yeah, and this is also going to be one of those times of year, like the NCAA hockey tournament is starting this upcoming Friday. I know Penn State's in there, so I'm going to be watching that. If they play Michigan in the second round, they knock out Michigan, maybe Luke Hughes would join the NHL ranks with the New Jersey Devils. That would be pretty cool to see. So maybe something I'm hoping for as a Nittany Lion fan and also as a fantasy hockey manager. You always like to be able to pick up those college guys. And even with the Buffalo situation, I just wanted to chime in about Levi and his upside. I mean, I would pick up this guy. One of my great strategies, and I know, Nick, you've done this before, like, if you're in either a tank mode or a rebuild mode in a keeper or dynasty league, pick up one of those guys like Levi now, you know, roll him out for the end of the season, doesn't really matter. And then you can keep that guy. You could retain him for next year. And whereas in a dynasty league or something like that, he could be if he's still out there, he could be like a top 10 overall pick depending on the player pool. So I'm a big advocate of picking up Levi now, seeing what you get down the stretch and then making your keeper decisions accordingly in the offseason.
I like that. Not to mention the tandem mates there. And I know Craig Anderson's still in the mix and Comrie. There's a lot of guys in Buffalo's crease, but the potential of having UPL and Levi in the next 5 to 10 years is pretty scary, assuming that they develop. So I like that look quite a bit. You mentioned NCAA. So you've been gone for a couple of weeks now. Of course, you had your second kid. Can you guess, you probably know this answer, how many goals has Kyle Connor scored since your last podcast, we'll say?
Well, Kyle Connor and the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, I don't know what's happened to the Winnipeg Jets Zero. Over the past, right, the past couple of weeks. I mean, they're the last team currently in the playoff picture, right, in the Western Conference. I mean, what has happened? I mean, Connor's going into a little bit of a drought here. I guess what Ehlers is, it was scrapping it a little bit. I mean, I'm not really sure what's going on with that team. And I think like they're in a bit of danger here. When you look at Calgary Flames, I feel like are starting to play. They're still inconsistent. You're starting to see some better hockey and some more results from that team over the past month or two. So beware, Winnipeg Jets. We were all high on you coming into the season, and you even exceeded our expectations, but they're no playoff lock anymore. All those teams have risen to the top in the West, and the Jets are right there with the Kraken near the bottom of the playoff picture. I'm surprised.
Kick it in gear. It's been a massive struggle, but the answer, Pete, was zero. You've been gone for a while. 0 goals in the past 10 games, 1 goal in the past 14 for Kyle Connor, who has to get cooking here at Winnipeg, is finito. But you talk about Calgary. Still, I guess, a shot. Speaking of shots, I probably feel more highly about this team than others do. And maybe it's because I picked them to win the Stanley Cup, but the Carolina Hurricanes. So since you've been gone, the big time loss, Andrei Svechnikov, what's your reaction to that? And how do you feel about Carolina now than you did maybe a couple months ago?
Yeah, I feel a little worse about them. I usually don't change my cup winner from preseason to start of the playoffs, but I'm leaning towards changing it. I'm not exactly sure who I need to see the matchups first. Because of course, in the NHL playoffs this year, any given team, maybe even Boston, if they play a team like Florida, could be on upset alert in the first round. So just waiting to see those matchups, but leaning away from Carolina, because I think he's one of those finishers. I mean, look at the beginning of the season, right? You were expecting Pacioretty to be a big finisher for them. He's not playing the rest of the season. Svechnikov would have been next on that list. He's not playing for the rest of the season. And timing couldn't have been any worse, because they didn't really, other than Puljujarvi, right? They didn't, and Gostisbehere, like they didn't really acquire an impact player at the deadline. So it's disappointing for Carolina. I still think they could hang around to 7 games with any team in the league. But in terms of replicating that 4 rounds in a row without 2 of their best goal scorers, I don't like their chances anymore of being the top favorite in my book to win the cup.
I would have to echo those sentiments. And the crazy thing watching the Canes since Svechnikov went down, they look wounded, man. And that's a team that never looks wounded, you know, more so because of their head coach, what he brings to the table and the positivity. But like even watching that game against the Leafs on Friday, they were buried. They had a tough outing against the Philadelphia Flyers on the weekend too. They found a way in that one. But you're right. Like that's the one thing I always remember from Canes runs the last couple of years, their inability to score that big time goal. And the power play. And you take, Pacioretty hasn't really been a part of this roster, but you take Svechnikov off that roster. I know they have depth, but I don't know where the consistency is coming from. And a guy who has negatively been affected by this is Sebastian Aho. Like, I think he had 8 games in a row. He didn't get a point, finally gets a hat trick. So he snaps out of it against the Philadelphia Flyers. But long term, you look at that top 6, I don't know if they're able to compete with the big dogs in the Eastern Conference, Pete.
Right. And the other concern I had, I mean, the only concern I had with Carolina coming into the season was the 2C. Remember, we were talking it up leading up to the deadline, right? They didn't get any of those guys that were available. They didn't get O'Reilly. Larkin wasn't on the market. They didn't get Bo Horvat. You know, those were the options that they had if they really wanted to go in and solidify that weakness. So they didn't solidify that weakness. And those top 2 guys, in my opinion, it's just going to be a big loss for them come postseason time. So, you know, I'm leaning maybe more towards like, if it's going to be Rangers Devils, like maybe that other team could beat, you know, the winner of that series could beat the Canes. We'll see who ends up winning the division and stuff like that. And then, oh yeah, you're going to have either you know, Boston or Toronto on the other side, or Tampa Bay waiting for you and licking their chops. So again, it's just such a deep, jam-packed Eastern Conference that the odds are have tilted against them with these unfortunate developments.
They could surprise. Let's not forget, a lot of the playoffs is about defense if it's not for the Colorado Avalanche, right?
Yeah.
Who surprised a lot of people last year. And the way they won, needed pedestrian goaltending. They got the job done, but never overlook teams like the Carolina Hurricanes. I just want to bring up quickly, Evgeny Kuznetsov got banged up against Minnesota on Sunday. He's reaching drop territory, Pete. Last nine games, one goal, one assist. We brought up Connor. Bo Horvat, man, like since signing that contract, I know the numbers are pretty decent with the Islanders overall, but he has one assist in his last eight games. We probably could have forecasted this. It was a better spot fantasy-wise in Vancouver, no?
Yeah, we were on that one for sure. But the Islanders' offense is chugging along, and they've been winning some games. They had a pretty decent road trip, right? They beat the Ducks. They beat the Sharks. They took care of business. So that's how I look at the Islanders this year. They've been very steady. And their goaltender is as good as anybody out there. And the offense has been a pleasant surprise this year. So I'm looking at the Islanders as being on a pretty good track to make the playoffs. And, you know, some of these other fan questions we got, one that was really interesting to me with the team the Islanders are competing against, the Pittsburgh Penguins. What's going on with the Penguins goaltenders? And do you actually favor Casey DeSmith, who has made some highlight reel saves in recent weeks, over a Tristan Jarry, who has a great record, but not lately, to say the least, right? The Penguins netminders have been struggling.
Yeah, I'm fading Pittsburgh. I can find quality goaltending elsewhere. We mentioned some guys already early on in this podcast. Like, it's a train wreck, Pete. Even if they do get in, there's no shot in hell Pittsburgh's doing anything substantial. Famous last words, right? But like, you even look at their goaltending situation in last year's Stanley Cup playoffs. They have to find a rectify that. I don't know if it's going to be Jarry long-term, maybe not, but that's scary, especially in fantasy playoffs when a lot of people probably have invested a lot in a guy like Tristan Jarry, and then every game he goes out there and surrenders five goals a game, you're cooked on like a Monday. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I know they're in the showcase game later in the week. I think Saturday night, ABC, Penguins, Capitals. So we're going to see some interesting storylines, even though those teams are on the back nine, I guess you could say. They're not looking too good these days. But John Carlson could be coming back for the Washington Capitals. What, he had a fractured skull, man. My goodness. Thankfully, he's okay. But maybe that would impact Rasmus Sandin a little bit if he goes on first power play. So are you worried at all about Sandin? Because we look at those storylines, right? Of course, he's been a great beneficiary of the trade deadline move. But once a guy comes back from injury, everything could change for a lightning in a bottle player like Sandin.
Especially a John Carlson, right? Like a premier defenseman in this league, a premier fantasy defender. I think without question, it probably slots Sandin to PP2, moves Carlson up to PP1. So I think right away he's going to lose a bit of value there. But the way he's been playing finally with this opportunity, I wouldn't doubt it for a second if it continues even 5-on-5 for a guy like Rasmus Sandin. So certainly have a look there in that direction. Just want to mention a wrap as well, the four-game teams, Arizona, Boston, Calgary, Carolina, Chicago, Colorado, Detroit, Florida, Nashville, Ottawa, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Toronto, and Vancouver. So if you're looking to target some waiver wire pickups, you're looking at those 14 teams, Pete.
One other question I wanted to address. So someone was asking on Instagram, is it smart to handcuff goalies from the same team in the fantasy playoffs? I don't love the strategy, but it is difficult, right? Like, even if you have a strong goalie, like look at Minnesota, like the tandem of Fleury and Gustafson has been one of the best in the entire league in team save percentage. But if you're in a particular week and say Gustafson has a bad game and then doesn't play again, only three games for his team, let's say, and Fleury gets the other two in a given week, then you're kind of empty there. But if you are rostering a full tandem, like I wouldn't say the Pittsburgh tandem or the Buffalo tandem, but someone a little step up, right, Nick? It could pay dividends because you have those guaranteed starts.
Yeah, you have to pinpoint starts. I mean, for example, if you have the tandem in Boston, I think you're feeling pretty good. Jeremy Swayman, back-to-back shutouts. Linus Allmark's going to win the Vezina Trophy in all likelihood. Yeah. So like if you're in a tandem like that you're not dropping out. But I think if you're elsewhere, like it's a Korpisalo and a Copley, I think I feel free to jump out. Like the level of urgency has to be ramping up this time of year. Like you're not thinking about the future. You're not thinking about next week. You're going day to day. So that's probably the best advice I would give when looking at the schedule. I don't think you're looking to roster guys who are not playing. So Pete, we look ahead obviously to the week and Thursday's podcast. We're going to look at the mailbag and some questions, you know, fantasy owners are having, but this is just the best time of year for fantasy hockey.
I'm not going to lie. It was great to have some time off and great to get everybody in a good routine, but I am happy that I didn't miss the Stanley Cup playoffs or anything like that. Yeah. And all the big trades happened before I left. So how great was that, right? I was here for Timo Meier reaction, Patrick Kane reaction. Didn't really miss that much. So now it's the stretch run, baby. Let's go.
NHL Puckline is a new show with our friends Lauren Jabara and Todd Furman every Tuesday and Thursday on the NHL YouTube channel. Go check it out. You did not skip a beat, my friend. Great to have you back. For Pete Jensen and producer Bob Bender, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Talk later this week. Take care.